Christians. You know that, don't you? I mean, people should hang out with us and want to be more like Christ just because they've been with us. So we're going to start a little mini series here. And I'm going to start off with a little quiz because we know the Christmas story so well, don't we? Right? We've all been in how many pageants and such with. So there's only five simple little questions. You can keep your own score, see how you do. So question number one, Joseph was originally from A, Bethlehem, B, Nazareth, C, Hebron, D, Jerusalem, or D, E, none of the above. Okay, what do y'all think? Get your answers, lock them in. Final answer, okay, let's go to the answer. Bethlehem. See, he lived in Nazareth, but he had to go back to Bethlehem where he was originally from to pay his taxes. Okay, question number two. What does the Bible say that the innkeeper said to Mary and Joseph? A, there is no room in the inn. B, I have a stable you can use. C, both A and B. D, none of the above. Boy, we're not as sure on this one, are we? Come on. Lock in your answers. All right, answer D, none of the above. Yes, shocking, isn't it? The innkeeper didn't say anything because the Bible never references an innkeeper. And chances are it wasn't even an inn, it was a home, like a boarding house. So, yeah, all you that played the innkeeper in your school plays, you didn't exist. All right, question number three. What did the angels say or sing in Luke 2:14? Glory to God in the highest, hallelujah. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. E, glory to the newborn king. Are y'all out? I'm hearing some answers on this side. Come on, I got to hear some answers on this side. Come on. All right, answer. Glory to God in the highest. There we go. All right, number four. What is a heavenly host? Okay. The angel at the gate of heaven, the angel who serves refreshments in heaven, an angel choir, an angel army, or none of the above? Come on, I'm not hearing any answers over here. Just you're staring at me. What? Okay. Y'all ready? Wait, what was the answers over here? Wow. Answer? D. An angel army. And it's probably why the shepherds were overwhelmed, because it says there were a multiple of angelic hosts. Multitude. Right. See? So it wasn't just one angel army. Imagine the skies lining up with the angels. And you're standing out there in the dark with a stick. No wonder you'd feel a little intimidated. All right. Was that the last question? I think so. One more. Okay, number five. The star in the east that the wise men followed, according to Matthew 2:9, A, stayed in the same place during their entire journey, disappeared and reappeared, C, moved ahead of them and stopped over the place where Jesus was, D, none of the above. Now, disregard all of your Christmas cards, okay? So think about this. Just because you sent it on a Hallmark doesn't mean it's true. Come on. What do you think? How many of y'all believe A? Raise your hand. Ooh, we have a plan down. All right. How many believe in B? How many believe C? How many believe D? All right. Let's show the answer. Mm-hmm. Look it up. It's in the Bible. Why isn't the Hallmark true? We believe Hallmark. They make great movies, too. No, the star did not stay stationary over the manger, but it moved. So look it up. Now, so today we're going to be talking about a series, and today's message is called Torched by an Angel. And no, I didn't mispronounce the TV series. But today we're going to be talking about being torched by an angel. And we're going to be looking at a story that's very common, but we're going to look at two aspects of it this Sunday and next Sunday. How our humanness interacted into this will create different scenarios from the same situation. And so we're going to be breaking today into two different stories. And we're going to be looking at, if you have your Bibles with you, Luke chapter 1. And we're going to be talking about Zacharias and Elizabeth. Now, Zacharias and Elizabeth could represent any couple in the modern church today. Because as we read the description, they were just a great couple. And in fact, in verses 6 and 7 of chapter 1 of Luke, chapter 1, it says, Zacharias and Elizabeth had God's approval. They followed all of the Lord's commands and regulations perfectly. Yet they had never had any children because Elizabeth could not become pregnant. And both of them were too old to have children. Now, if you read on in that passage, we see that Zechariah was serving in the temple. And he was fulfilling the role as a priest, and he was in lighting incense. And if you look in Exodus 30, it talks about how the priests would go into the Holy of Holies and they would light incense before the morning sacrifice and after the evening sacrifice. And it was not a role that they would do regularly because they would choose lots to see who would take that turn. They felt that that was God's way of calling, saying, well, Greg, you're going to have these few days to do this. And Alan, you're going to have these few days. And Jacob, you'll have these few days. And it was God's calling them into that time, into this holy place to serve. So we have an ordinary priest walking into a very holy place and having an experience that we're going to talk about. As he's in there lighting the incense, and it says in the Bible that the others were out in the outer courts praying, suddenly an angel appears, as we're aware of. Gabriel shows up. Now, I want to tell you that every time Gabriel shows up, he shows up four times. He shows up twice in the Old Testament, twice in the New Testament. Every time, he has to calm the person down that he's appearing to. So I'm assuming that Gabriel is pretty impressive as an angelic being. And so he even says to him, and what's interesting is this, where all this is happening, okay, you're going into the temple, you're to light incense before the Lord, you're in the presence of God, and an angel appears, and it surprises him. Now, I can see if he says, and Zacharias was walking down the street about to buy some pottery, and the angel appeared to him. But he's in the presence of God, and an angel appears, and this is what verse 12 through 14 says. Zechariah was troubled and overcome with fear. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer." Now, I'll tell you what. If there's anything you ever want to have an angel say to you is, "Hey, Tom, don't be fearful. God has heard your prayers." Because, man, all of a sudden, that's an affirmation. And so it says, God has heard your prayers. Your wife, Elizabeth, will have a son, and you will name him John. And he will be your pride and joy, and many people will be glad that he was born. I think today there's times in our lives we're just going through life. We're going through situations. We're praying. We're praying on our way to work. We get into work. And all of a sudden we start to experience a God moment. We see a God experience. We see a breakthrough on something that we were praying about. Because what you don't know about is in that culture, having a child was everything. And Elizabeth's prayers, because she did not have a child, you know that her prayers were, God, would you grant us a child? And at a certain point, bless you, she probably even stopped praying it because she's thinking, now I'm too old. Let me tell you one thing, you're never too old for God. There is no retirement as a Christian, okay? It's not like, well, once you reach 62, you can fold your Bible up and just wait for the return of God. No, God uses us no matter what age, wherever we are, whatever situation. If God, in my old age, puts me in a nursing home, then I'm going to make that my ministry. And every person who walks in my room, I'm going to share the love and gospel of Christ with them. That should be our view of life, is wherever we are, God, use me in this situation. Whatever my situation is, God, allow me to reflect you in every bit of my being. Don't be conditional as a Christian. Well, if I feel like encouraging others, then I'll do this. Or if God blesses me where I don't have to work, then I'll really serve God. So we're praying for things to happen, and suddenly a breakthrough happens, and now it's this, wow, I can't believe this is actually happening to me. You know, there's been things that Chris and I have been praying for. We're ready for an angelic moment. We're ready for that angel to appear and say, hey, Kristen, I've been hearing your prayers in the morning as you've been crying out. And lo and behold, this is going to happen. Our response is going to be very important, what we're going to take a look at. Now, before we go on, I want to talk to you a little bit about angels, because Della Reese and Roma Downey from Touched by an Angel, those aren't angels, okay? I want you to know that. Charlie's Angels from the 1970s were not angels, okay? So we get this image of, oh, this is an angel. No. We've really got to look at basically the guide of what angels do. And angels are servants of the Most High God. They're designed to protect us. They're designed to instruct us. And they are there to guide us. That is the role of angels. Angels do not receive worship. They glorify God. When they are offered worship, they reflect it. And that's the way we should be doing too. When anybody starts glorifying you or your ministry or anything, it should always be reflecting to God. Because we are nothing and He is everything. I am the created. He is the creator. So all glory belongs to God. Amen. And we see this in Gabriel. As I mentioned, he is appearing four times in the scriptures. Twice in the Old Testament, he appears to Daniel. He also appears twice in the New Testament, both in this passage that we're reading, because he's also going to appear to Mary after he appears to Zacharias. Each time he talks about, do not fear. The Bible never defines Gabriel as his role, but we do know that he stands in the presence of God. So it doesn't say that he's an archangel. It doesn't say this. It just says that I've been in the presence of God. And he stands there, and he's had assignments. So as we go on now, he's sharing some good news. This is where the story gets good. So he's telling Gabriel, and I'm taking a big passage and I'm condensing it down. He's saying, you're going to have a child. I'm going to tell you what you're going to name that child. You're going to name that child John. He's going to bring you a lot of joy and happiness. He is going to make a lot of people rejoice. He won't drink. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit while he's in the womb. Talk about a good child. He will bring many people back to God. He's going to be an instrument in bringing revival back to the family. Look at verse 16. He's going to bring revival back to the church. Verse 17. So you can imagine getting a report like this that Zechariah is like, woohoo! And yet, that's not the response that we read. In Luke 18 and 20, it says, Zechariah said to the angel, what proof is there for this? Now, you know how I tell you, put yourself in that scripture. You're standing in the Holy of Holies. You're being visited by an angel. And your first response is, prove it. I mean, honestly, would that be the first thing? I mean, if an angel visited me, I'd be like, yeah, right. Are there strings? Are you guys punking me? Come on. Is there cameras? Because he says, I am an old man. And my wife is beyond her childbearing years. That's a polite way of saying I have an old woman. You're not going to read that in a Hallmark card either. I just want you to know, I love you, my child, of beyond childbearing years. It's funnier in my head. The angel answered him, I'm Gabriel. I stand in God's presence, and God has sent me to tell you this good news. But because you didn't believe what I said, you will be unable to talk until the day this happens. And everything will come true at the right time. What you think, what you believe, and what you say can hinder what God is going to do in your life. There is power in agreement. And when God speaks something into your life, you need to come into agreement with that and not start telling God every reason why it won't happen. Because what happens is when you start looking at the natural, you start talking in fear. When you start looking at the supernatural, you look in faith. And so what happens is we start looking at things in the natural and say, this isn't going to happen this year. This isn't going to happen in my workplace. This person is not going to change. My work situation will never get any better. And God is wanting to do exceedingly abundantly great and mighty things in our lives, and our words are fighting what he is speaking over us and the promises that are yes and amen. So when we don't come into agreement, we're giving God just, hey, talk to the hand, I'm going to do this. Oh, I would never do that to God. We do it every time we don't come into agreement with his word. And when we don't come into agreement with the word, we're speaking words of fear and not faith. You cannot be in fear and faith at the same time. You're either going to be in one camp or the other. If there's a line in your life, you're either saying, I'm going to walk in faith or I'm going to walk in fear. But when you start looking at the circumstances, I hope you will remember, I'm looking at fear right now. When you start quoting scriptures, no matter what the doctor has said to you. When you start quoting scriptures, no matter that you get an email that your boss wants to see you. When you start quoting scriptures when that person is yelling at you and you didn't do anything, you're walking in your faith. And it's important for us because we have that opportunity daily. Okay, you say, oh, there's seasons where no, every day you have a choice. Multiple times whether you're going to walk in faith or you're going to walk in fear. You make more decisions in a day than you realize. Not what am I having for breakfast? What am I going to wear? Does this make me look fat? Do I want to do this? Do I want to? No, I'm not talking those decisions. I'm talking multiple decisions on how we respond to someone. What if somebody says, hey, Sean, I want to share what God's doing in my life. And she says, oh, Pastor, that's never going to happen. You think? You see, you also have to be careful who you share your dreams with. You need to find people who are in the Word that will encourage you so that when you share your dream with them, you'll say, you know what, I'm going to pray about that, but I know that there's a scripture that you can hold on to. You've got to have that in you, okay, so that it can come out of you. But if you're full of fear, you're going to give fear. If you're full of faith, you're going to give faith. If you're full of anger, you're going to give anger. When you're full of doubt, you're going to give doubt. Whatever they're full of is what they're going to give of. And we've told a lot of people, you're full of it. Well, we're not talking about that, but they're full of something that's not full of faith. Let that one process for a minute. Ding. Okay. So we don't know how many times in a single day that God is trying to position us for a blessing. God is trying to move us to a place where we can receive favor, and we step out of it. I don't want to do that. That person makes me mad. If I watch that TV evangelist, all he does is this. There could have been a blessing for you when watching that. But we bring our prejudices into it, and we start making fear decisions versus faith decisions. And we limit. Every experience that happens to us is a preparation for what God is wanting to do in your life. In fact, there's a slide I'd like for you to put up, Lane, if you could. This is from Corrie Ten Boom. And she said, every experience God gives us, every person he puts into our lives, is the perfect preparation for the future that only he can see. Now, do we see that? Do we function in that? Do we realize? Because there's sometimes I wish that people hadn't come into my life. But you know what? God made me a better person from it. There's situations I wish I hadn't got through, but God made me stronger. You don't get strong by not going to the gym. You get strong by going to the gym. You show me a workout couch potato, and I'll show you a miracle. Okay? But it's through those experiences that make us stronger. Stronger in him, stronger as Christians, stronger as believers, stronger in the word. I wish that I could tell you every day as a born-again believer was going to be gumdrops in sunshine. Bless you. But it's the times that I've been going through the storms. It's the times that the wind has blown so hard that I didn't think I was going to be able to stand. That's when I actually grew. We don't know the tone of Zechariah's response, but by judging by the action taken by Gabriel, there might have been a little sarcasm in his response. that you're not going to be able to talk until this baby comes. You see, we have the opportunity to agree with God says, or we have the opportunity to cast a shadow of a doubt. Many times we're the ones that get in the way of the things that God is wanting to do in our life. It reminded me of a passage in Mark 11 when Jesus is walking with his disciples and he comes to the fig tree. And you're very familiar with that passage. But what I want to just point out real briefly is that Jesus did not speak at the tree. He spoke to the tree. You have an opportunity to speak to your circumstances. You have an opportunity to speak to your work environment. You have an opportunity to speak to those people in your life. Some of us are speaking at them. Your words can speak to the situation. You can bring God's word into any situation. No matter how volatile it is, you can bring God's word into that situation. It's a principle of faith that's associated with our words, which is a whole nother sermon series, because our words have power. You see, when God created, he spoke the universe. He spoke everything. You have the opportunity to speak life into situations. You have the opportunity to speak death into situations. You also have the opportunity to speak weight into that situation. God saying, I'm ready to do this in your life. And you're like, wait, God, I'm not ready. There's things I need to do. I'm really busy. Have you seen my schedule, God? How many times has God said, just would you go for a walk with me? Would you get into the Word? God, I'm too busy. Plus, Hallmark Channels is doing all the Christmas movies right now, God. Can we talk in January? Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love to talk will have to eat their own words. There is power in our confession. When the kids ask me, Dad, are you feeling okay? There's many times this is my response. I'm receiving my healing. Oh, you say, but you're not. No, I don't even choose to express that over me. I'm saying what God's doing in my body. He's bringing healing into my body. He's bringing strength. There's been times this has been my response. Dad, are you feeling okay? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You didn't answer my question. Yes, I did. Because what I'm saying is it's not about me, it's about him. And I'm standing on the scriptures and I'm speaking that into my life. I'm speaking that into my body or into my family or into my finances or into my circumstance. And it's important that we understand the power of our words. Do you remember Jericho and how they had to walk around 6 days quietly, and on the seventh day they had to walk around, and then at the very end they got to shout? Here's my interpretation of that. He kept their mouths quiet so they wouldn't ruin what he wanted to do. Think about it. If we're all walking, we're going to start hanging out with people that are like thinking like we're thinking. This is the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life. Man, what kind of leadership are we into? Have you seen these walls? You got to realize the children had never seen a walled city before. That's like taking somebody from the country into a big mega mall the very first time. Okay? They'd never seen a walled city. And their confession could have spread like cancer. Isn't it amazing how one or two negative things can influence a whole group? And I see why God made them walk around quietly. Okay? Because it's hard to pass a bad attitude with a look. You could be like, and she's like, what? I'm like, because I can't say anything. Maybe God's teaching us how to be quiet. We need to learn to listen to God, keep that inside of us, allow it to grow inside of us, stop our negative talking, stop telling God why it won't happen. Amen. This holiday season, we have an opportunity to listen to what God is saying to us. And what we have to realize is what we are is God's gifts to us. But what we become is our gift to God. Thank you, Ashley. What we are is God's gift to us. He's given each of us giftings. You say, oh, I don't have. Yes, the Bible says that we've all been given gifts, okay? You have value in your life. No matter what anybody has said to you, no matter what you've gone through, you have value, you have purpose, and that is a gift from God. What you become through the Word, what you become through circumstances, the way that you influence others is our gift back to God. Amen. See, God doesn't really need your money. God really doesn't need your looks and fame and personality. What he's impressed is a heart that's humble to him. It says, God, not my will, but your will be done. And I, let me tell you, all of us have a will. And being the father of three lovely children, it starts day two. You kind of get that first day off, like, you know, and then the will starts showing up. So don't say, oh, I don't have a will. You've had it your whole life. We have a choice to come into agreement with his thoughts, to come into agreement with his plans, to come into agreement to bless others, to come into agreement to be an encouragement to others, to be an encouragement to take a message that for unto us a child is given and unto us a Savior is born. That's a choice that we have every day, whether we're going to share that message or not. And I'm not talking a great bumper sticker. I'm talking about your lifestyle, your words that you speak, the way people know you. That is the message that we should be portraying. Yeah. It's also an opportunity for us to say thank you, God. Thank you, God, for making a way out of addiction. Thank you, God, for making a way of healing. Thank you, for God, for making a way out of poverty. Thank you, God, for making a way for me to love others. Thank you, God, for giving me a way to love myself. Thank you, God, for giving me eternity. Thank you for allowing me to spend that eternity with you. We have so much to be thankful for if we start looking at all the promises that are in the Word of God. We cannot not be thankful if we truly understand our relationship with Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. It's like an oxymoron. You cannot be an unthankful Christian, because a thankful Christian recognizes everything that was done on the cross, that he bore our sickness, he bore our diseases, he bore our anxieties. He tells us not to worry. He tells us not to fear. And yet we still go through worry, doubt, fear, depression, sickness, divorce, all of those, because we choose to look at the people instead of God. Zachariah and Elizabeth were to give birth a special baby named John. Told him that it was going to be the greatest thing that ever happened to them. But if God were to say to you, what you've been praying about is about to come, what are your words going to be? Are you going to come into agreement with that birth? Or are you going to fight that birth? This is why today's message was not called Touched by an Angel, because Zachariah was torched by an angel. 9 months, his vocal cords were speechless. 9 months, he had time to think about what he said that day.
That's right.
We're talking about the longest recorded timeout ever given by anyone. Go to your room for 9 months. 9 months? Yeah, just and think about what you've done. Wow. But you know what? Because the scripture also says that God's word will not return to him void. And when Gabriel spoke it, it was going to happen. So the time came for her to give birth, and she had the son, and everybody's rejoicing. 8 days later, they take him in to be circumcised. All the family's there. Zachariah has his tablet, the way he's been communicating the last 9 months. Yeah, I'd like a cheese sandwich, please. No mayo, okay? So one of the most easy way here, kind of a Flintstone kind of thing going on for those. So everybody's there, the family, and you know how sometimes you have some pushy family members? I guess y'all don't have any, but you know, come to my reunion. But there's some family that are always going to put their way in. So all of a sudden, they're asked, what's the baby going to be named? And somebody says, oh, Zachariah. And Elizabeth says, no, his name is John. And everybody looks at Zachariah because the custom would have been he would have been named after the father. We also see in the scripture that there was no indoor plumbing because it says there are no Johns in their family. Now, see, that one was for Michael, our plumber, and he was in the nursery. And how often do you get to bring a plumbing joke in? So they said there's no Johns in your family. He asked for the tablet, and when he wrote, his name will be John, his voice was returned to him. Everybody was in awe. Can you imagine 9 months of not being able to talk, and all of a sudden your voice is returned? Because you finally came into agreement with what God is going to do after the baby's delivered. Wow. We should start praising God right now for what he's about to do and not waiting for him to zip our lip because we're fighting him tooth and nail. We should come into agreement with what God is wanting to do in our lives, what God is wanting to do in our children, what God is wanting to do in our finances, what God is wanting to do in our bodies, what God is wanting to do in our society, what God is wanting to do in our culture, what God is wanting to do in our church. We should come into agreement with him right now. Amen. And not be kicking and screaming. Amen. Can we let go of our plans? Are we able to listen to the whisper of the Holy Spirit when he speaks into our lives something different than what we had planned? Are we really willing to listen to the Holy Spirit? When that Holy Spirit says, I want you to go to that person standing in line and I want you to tell them that I love them, are you willing to do that? Oh, it gets worse. When the Holy Spirit says, go give that person $100, and you're thinking, that's pretty much all I got. God? That's got to have been that burrito. Are we willing to break our plans when the Holy Spirit asks us to step out of our comfort zone to encourage or bless other people? And I'm going to tell you, it's not Satan, because Satan's not going to have you bless someone else. Satan's going to say, hey, you see that $20 barely sticking out of Joseph's pocket? If you bump him, you can take it. That's Satan. When it says, go give Joseph $20 and tell him that I love him. Pay for the person's food behind you in the drive-thru and tell them that God has a plan and purpose for their life. No credit, no glory. Are we willing to break our routine? Are we willing to go through the birth and delivery of things that God wants to do in our life? Or are we going to fight it? What miracle are you wanting? What miracle have you been praying for? What miracle have you been standing on? See, next week, we're going to look at how Gabriel visits Mary and how there's a total different outcome from this. But there's something really unique about the story that I'm going to share with you next week. David, if you'd come up, I'd like to close the service. I hope today that I have challenged you in some way through God's word, that it's not about us, it's about him. And it's not about our plans, it's about his plans. And we can either come into agreement with his plans or we can fight his plans. We can either come into agreement with the blessings that he has for us or we can push those blessings away. We can come into agreement with what he says is yes and amen. We say maybe and later. Our words are very important. We can use words to bless. We can use words to curse. We can use words to build up. We can use words to tear down. And I just pray that during this holiday season, when you're going to be in more cramped areas than you've ever been in your life, when family comes in that you haven't seen in a long time, when there's opportunities for you to be a blessing, that you're willing to listen to the whisper of the Holy Spirit and step out of your comfort zone and come into agreement with what God is asking you to do. See, I think there's sometimes that God doesn't share too much of the plan he has for us, because when he shared it with John, he says, you're going to have a son. His name is John. He's going to be this. You're going to do this. He's going to lead people. It was too much information. And I think that's why sometimes God doesn't give us too much information. But he leads us step by step by step. If we'll trust him, if we'll follow him, if we'll believe in him. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, I'd like for us just today to just ask God to give us that ability to listen to the Holy Spirit, to give us the ability to put away the negative thoughts, to convict us of our words that we have used to tear down, to give us strength, to encourage, and to step out of our comfort zone. And I'm going to tell you, that's a very powerful prayer right there. Don't ask God for strength to step out of your comfort zone if you're not willing for that to happen. But as followers of Christ, that's what we're called to do. Follow Christ, to take up our cross. Father, I just thank you for this season of light, the season of worship. Father, that we can walk into businesses and hear about your son being born. We can turn on the television and see on network news channels songs about Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain. We thank you for the opportunity to share the love of Christ with those that are in our world. We thank you for our work world. We thank you for our school world. We thank you for our neighborhood. We thank you, Father, for our families. We thank you, Father, for our community. We thank you for those that we shop near. We thank you for those that we drive with. We thank you for those that we stand in line with. And Lord, would you allow us to be a light, the brightest light of this season, to everyone that is near us. May we be contagious Christians. May we reflect your light and your love. May we be willing to listen to the whisper of the Holy Spirit and to step out of our comfort zone and come into agreement with what you're asking us to do, to encourage, to bless, to speak life. Father, I thank you for a phenomenal Christmas season over this congregation. I thank you that you'll be with us everywhere we go, every step that we take. I thank you that you do not take vacations or coffee breaks or time off, but you are with us. And Lord, I thank you in advance that you will bring people into our lives that we can love and bless. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. If you'd stand, I'd like to speak a blessing over you as we dismiss. Please remember, next week we have an opportunity to bless a lot of people. As I told you, we brought in over 133 pairs of socks. That's 133 people that we can tell that Jesus loves them, that we can bring warmth into their life. Please, if you think of it, bring Pop-Tarts. I went to Walmart and bought one of those 16 packs. My kids ate half of it, but I'll go buy another one. But it's also great to hand them something and something of warmth. It might change your world. May the Lord bless you and may he protect you. May the Lord smile upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. So go now in his peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you so much for coming. We love you very much.